Also joining us on the Buck Stops here tonight, Sahitya Academy Award winner and Man Booker shortlisted novelist, poet and librettist Jeet Thayil, whose new work, The Book of Chocolate Saints, has been described as a literary masterpiece that only comes along very rarely. Jeet, thank you for being on the show tonight.
Pleasure.
The Book of Chocolate Saints, that's an intriguing title if we've ever heard one. It's also a title you've been wrestling with for some time now. So will you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. I wrote some poems some years ago, which is in my last book of poems, the collected poems, which was called The Book of Chocolate Saints. And it was a collection of real and imaginary saints, all of whom had one thing in common, and that was skin color. They were all dark, chocolate colored. And it was a kind of a way of, and there's a character in this book who's writing a book of poems called The Book of Chocolate Saints.
Yes, of course.
Which is a kind of antidote. Because the book is full of saints of color, it's a kind of antidote to all the books in the world that have no people of color in them.
Let's talk about your protagonist, Francis Newton Xavier. He's described as India's greatest living painter, also a poet. You know, with those first names, we have to ask this question. Are we seeing shades of F.N. Souza here, perhaps with a bit of Dom Moraes thrown in?
In fact, it's the other way around. It's shades of Dom Moraes with a bit of F.N. Souza thrown in. It's, you know, his parents were Beryl and Frank. I've kept the names.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the kind of arc of Xavier's life follows roughly the arc of Dom's life. And Dom had a tremendously dramatic life that was just kind of made for television or made for the movies,
right.
Except he was just too busy living to ever get around to that. So in a way, I had very little work to do.
Right. But you do spend a lot of time on the Bombay poets, and you place Francis Xavier in that canon. Would you say that Bombay, of the Bombay of their time, or for that matter, even the Bombay of the 80s and 90s that you've talked about as being this very liberal space for artists and poets, that really is no longer the Mumbai of today?
It's a tragic fact of current day life. It is no longer the city of today. And, you know, when Bombay changed into Mumbai, I think we all saw that happening, but I don't think any of us who knew Bombay could have ever visualized how dramatic and what a descent that change would be. Because really, it was
And what do you think has been the crux of that change? Is it entirely political?
Political and cultural as well, because it affects the culture coming out of Bombay. It affects the kind of art being created by artists in Bombay. If you're afraid to say certain things, it's going to change what you write or what you sing or what you paint or the kind of film you might make, which we can see. You know.
You've taken a very strong line on self-censorship in the past as well. Would you say that self-censorship is something that is particularly worrying in the Indian context?
It's tremendously worrying, and it happens. You can see it happening in some way or the other to a lot of artists in this country. And the point is, you can't blame them. We live in an environment where anything can be taken out of context, and in a second people will rush to judgment, and there's no time really to think, and by the time some clarity has been brought to that issue, the moments move to something else.
But it's also a time when the written word seems to be under bigger threat than it ever has been before. I mean, I'll cite you the instance of a journalist like Gauri Lankesh, who can even lose her life for what she has written. How should writers and poets then react to a time or a situation like this?
It's not the first time in history that writers have been placed in this situation, in this position. And I think if you look back and you look at the writers who have responded to it with honor, there's only one way to respond to it.
You know, this is a novel, if I can call it that, one that clearly defies genres. Would you describe it as a novel?
Yes, in the sense that a novel, the reason it's called a novel is because it's trying to do something novel. And I think in that sense, this book is trying to do something novel. There are pages in it that are, even now when I look at it, and I open the book and look at it, I'm surprised it got through into print and no editor or publisher said, I'm sorry, this is crazy.
Right. Now, there's a particularly interesting section in the book. Indira Gandhi makes an appearance when Newton Xavier is commissioned to paint her portrait. He does. He paints her as a blob against a background of newspaper headlines about the emergency. Now, if I were to ask you, how would Newton the artist have painted our present prime minister?
Well, good question. I think perhaps as a blob of saffron with a beard, maybe.
Right. Okay. And what next for Jeetail, the author?
I'm going to go back home and work on my next book.
And is that going to be poetry or fiction?
It's a collection of essays and stories, nonfiction and fiction, and juxtaposed in a way where you don't know which is which.
All right. So playing with genres again.
Yes.
All right. Well, we wish you all the very best.
Thank you
very much.